Proverbs chapter 22. And once you've found your place, let's all stand together for the reading of God's Word. And I'm thankful to be able to be here tonight. I'm thankful to be able to teach this lesson. And last Monday, I started working on this message, and my daughter had reminded me that I wasn't supposed to preach last Wednesday night because we had the school thing. And so I said, oh, wow, I don't have to, you know. And so so this has been marinating for a little while. Hopefully we'll be able to get through it. We're going to actually look at verses 17 through 21 tonight. And I love going verse by verse through Proverbs. We've been doing it for well nigh 7 years now, I think. But I love it when we can mark off a chunk of it and get into it. That's my favorite kind of preaching, when we get more than just one or two verses involved. So we're going to get a few verses involved tonight. As we talk about wisdom is worth the work. Verse 17 of chapter 22, the Bible says, "Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee, they shall withal be fitted in thy lips." Isn't that an interesting statement? "That thy trust may be in the Lord, I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. Have not I written to thee excellent things and counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee." Father, we thank you for the wonderful word of God. And as we open tonight, we pray for wisdom to rightly divide it. Lord, we pray simply that you would do as thou hast said. And you said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And so we're asking. We're asking that you would give, as you said, liberally, not abrading. Lord, we pray that as we take it tonight, that we would simply apply it to our life. Pray that you'd help me to be emptied of anything self-sufficient or vain, that I may have the privilege of the filling of your Spirit, that you would be glorified in all that's said and done. Please help me to be obedient to that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. After chapter 10, pretty much Solomon changes his style of teaching or preaching, if you will, his manner of speaking. And though he's laid down doctrinal truths, now and then he drops a word of exhortation, leaving us to make the application. And really, that's what the book of Proverbs is all about. He's targeting one person, his son, and by inspiration, we get to read it. And God says, I want to give you these tidbits, and I don't want you to bite off too much at a time, because I want you to learn from every single one of them. Every single one of them is inspired. Every single one of them has a message for us. Here at the end, from here until the end of chapter 24, he simply becomes a little more scoped, if you will, on his son, and he begins to direct his speech directly at his son, if you want to broaden it a little bit, to his pupil, the one who desires to learn from him, his reader, if you will, those that would listen, speaking as to a particular person. And I hope that every time you open the Word of God, that that's what you're doing. You're allowing God to speak to you. Because though the book of books we call the Bible is written for anybody and everybody, when you open it, it's just you. It's you and God. And when you take His letter personally, that's when God is going to become very personal to you. Are you listening tonight? It requires work. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. For the most part, until now, his sense was comprised in one verse, but here it's drawn out to several verses. The phrase, if you'll notice, I believe it's in verse 20, "Have not I written to thee excellent things?" You see that phrase? It's an expression that finds its superlative nature as a third part of a measure. In other words, you could get the sense that he said something like this at least three times, which would lead you to believe that by inspiration it's definitely a God thing because of the number three, but as a third part of a measure. In other words, I like to think as the Word of God, as the variable that God the Father uses in conjunction with the Holy Spirit of God to change us into the Son of God. Let me say that again. I like to think that the Word of God, as the variable that God the Father uses in conjunction with the Holy Spirit of God to change us into the image of His dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Solomon refocuses his effort to drive home the truth that excellent things of the knowledge of God and His wisdom are far greater and far beyond that of human nature and reasoning. Listen to me. You can never think greater than God thinks. You can never master a way in this life greater than God's ways already are. In fact, I would submit to you Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8 again, as we have said this over and over throughout the study. God says, hey, my thoughts are not your thoughts. You can never have my thoughts except those that I reveal to you. And he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your hearts, than your thoughts. By the way, that's why sometimes we don't get it. And that's why sometimes we don't like it. It's because it's not our way. It's not our thought. We didn't think it would turn out this way. God did. Well, if we were to do it, we wouldn't have done it this way. That's why you didn't do it. God did it. I mean, look, let's just consider the world and how perfect God made it. If we would have been involved in that, it wouldn't be like it is. It really wouldn't. If we were to be involved in it, Michael, me and you, if we were the creators of all mankind, they'd all be just like us. Because we're the standard of normality. Right? I mean, that's what we think. Without saying it, we immediately say, well, if you're not like me, I don't like you. Right? If they would just agree with me, if they would just do everything that I would do, we'd all get along, which is patently untrue. So, God says, hey, I just want to remind you here that my knowledge is the greatest thing ever. This, of course, we've been repeating in the teaching and preaching of this pulpit for more than 11 years, and I'm afraid of what Ironside once said, and he said an amazing quote, and here it is. Many have been the words of wisdom to which we have been listening. Many more are to follow. The soul may become so used to them as to fail to discern their excellent character. You see, in essence, we can come, what Ironside is saying, to this passage, like every other passage of Scripture, day in, day out, Sunday in, and Sunday out, and the Word of God cease to be the Word of God. We just get used to it. Well, the pastor's just going to get up there, and he's going to run around and scream and fit about sin and talk about the love of God and plead for souls, and that's just normal. And Ironside said, I want you to understand, this happens all the time. Don't fall into that trap. People get so used to it, they forget that it's, as he said, excellent. What is needed, John Matthew said, is that the heart be applied to the knowledge thus imparted, for it is of all importance that they be kept within and fitted to the lips of the hearer whose trust must be in Jehovah if he is to exemplify them in his life. If you're the one who wishes then to exemplify a life of faith in God, the God that saved you, then you must set yourself to the work of getting wisdom. I read it again today. With all thy getting, get understanding. Get wisdom. He says it just like that. Two of the most activating verses or words in all of Proverbs. Get wisdom. It's on the Library of Congress. Anybody can go walk in and see. Should you walk in? It's on the left side wall, hanging above a door. Get wisdom. Get understanding with all thy getting. Wisdom is the principal thing. Right there before their eyes. And right here before our eyes, it lays every single day. I'm afraid what happens is we just forget that they're excellent things. Have not I written to thee excellent things and counsels and knowledge that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth? So this passage teaches us that the work and the effort in trying to obtain the Word of God and hide it in our heart and trying to dig out those nuggets and trying to discipline ourselves to get up early enough or to get busy enough or to get disciplined enough to stay in this book until we have the mind of God is well worth it. So I want you to take your outline tonight and I want you to see very quickly the required effort. Write this down somewhere in your notes under the first point. The Christian life is a life of effort. It's a life of effort. The Bible says, no man putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom. It's labor. It just doesn't happen to you by sitting in a church Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. You're going to have to work at it. You want wisdom to lead your family? You want wisdom to be a good Christian? I'm going to get way out of line here, so I'm just going to say the Christian life is a life of effort. I told you it's been marinating for a week. Let me give you the effort. Letter A, it says to bow down thine ear. Bow down your ear. That's That's an odd statement, Pastor. What does that mean? Bat on your ear. Well, he says it this way in Proverbs 5 and verse 1. My son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding. Here's what it means. It means that I have chose to humble myself, to set aside all worldly opinions, including my own, in lieu of the Word of God. Bow down, he says in verse 17, bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise. Can I tell you why? Because God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. If there's one thing in all of our lives that is the great inhibitor to all wisdom, it's pride. Because we are deceivers of ourselves, first and foremost. Before Satan, before the world, before you blame all of the bad in this world and everything going on in your life as wrong, make sure that you check your heart first. I heard a preacher this morning talking about the search me, O God, and know my heart and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. Why does the psalmist pray that? Because my heart's deceitful. I love myself so much. Somebody said humility does not mean thinking less of yourself than other people, nor does it mean having a low opinion of your own gifts. It means the freedom from thinking about yourself one way or the other at all. A Christian minister once said, I was never of any use until I found out that God did not intend me to be a great man. You see, when we finally get over ourselves, you know what you're going to do? You're going to bow down your ear. You're going to say, Lord, it doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't even matter what I think. God, I'm not even going to pray selfishly. Lord, I don't want my ways. I want the higher ways. I want to bow down thine ear. I've got to hurry. The required effort, first of all, I've got to bow down my ear. As if that was not bad enough, the Bible says, secondly, I need to hear the words. Hear the words. Hear the words of the wise and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. What does that mean? The phrase hear the words means to show serious attention to. You can read it on your own. Did you know that 13 times in this book you'll find Solomon saying, hear. Hear, my son. Hear. Hear. It's an intent. It is, I want to pay serious attention. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was giving the parable of the seed and the sower, made this huge and beautiful illustration of horticulture and left it to the hearers. And then he made this statement. Another fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, the Bible says in Luke 8. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. What's he saying? You got to want to. You got to purposely listen to what God is saying to you. It's not enough just to humble yourself and listen, or to hear your ear and say, okay, fine, I'll listen to the preaching. I'll read my Bible. You got to pay serious attention to it. As if it's more necessary than your necessary food. I've got to give my ear to it. Jesus spoke to the seven churches in the book of Revelation, and he said, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. Let me ask you a question. Are you listening to the Spirit? Because it takes an effort to humble yourself. That's one thing. But it also takes an effort to make yourself hear what God's saying to you. This morning, I'm kind of ashamed to say this, to be honest with you. This morning, I went in my office, turned on my computer, opened my notes, and tried to begin finishing this sermon. And God said, stop. I was trying to ignore him. I was trying to get clarity. I was trying to go through this message, and I thought I needed clarity on the message, but apparently what I really needed was to spend some more time with God. And so I did. Because more important than what I was trying to prepare to say to you was what God wanted to say to me. So I stopped. And I just prayed a while. And then I opened my Bible and I just started reading. You say, where are you at now? Judges. That's not the easiest book to read, by the way, either. I mean, it's better than Leviticus, don't get me wrong. I just needed to stop. Do you know why? Because he wasn't done with me yet. And he said, the very message that you're preparing to preach, you won't even practice. You won't bow down your ear to me. You won't hear my words. All you're interested, listen, is what you are saying to people. You ever have that problem? Talk so much, all you want people to listen is to you. That's why the Bible very carefully in James said, be slow to speak. So there's a proverb about the person that runs their mouth, wanteth not for sin. It's always there. Part of the, you were here in the message that I preached, led by the Spirit, part of meekness is shutting your mouth. God said, hey, I want you to hear the words. Thirdly, it says not just to bow down your ear and hear the words, it says to apply your heart. What is this? This is the effort of obedience by faith. The effort of obedience. Apply thine heart. Show me a Christian who isn't making an effort to humble themselves to the word of God, and I will show you a Christian who struggles with listening to the preaching of God's word, and I will show you a Christian who struggles, listen, with the simplest things in life. Why? Because they're trying to do things their way. They fumble, bumble, and they kind of, I thought about this at dinner time while I was eating my chili dog with cheese and mustard. Two dogs on one bun. It was laid flat. It was awesome. Two pieces of cheese. I don't know, 4 or 8 ladles of chili on there. You know what I'm talking? Do you feel me? Me and Troy right there. However they do that thing. I thought, you know what a lot of Christians do, unfortunately, is they live on momentum instead of on the Holy Spirit of God. And when you don't have the power of God to keep going, they feel like they have to create it. So they create it by doing things. They try to get their mind off of the fact that the Holy Spirit's going, hey, what are you doing without me? I can't lead you if you're always walking away from me. I'm trying to get your attention. This is the effort of obedience. Proverbs 2:2, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. This is why we have an invitation, an altar call. So that people can take the time to allow the Holy Spirit to show them how the truth applies to their specific life circumstance. But guess what? You got to make the effort. The Christian life is not lived right here, Dave. This is the beginning. No. Let me back up. It begins when you walk in that door and you leave everything that's kept you from being right with God. Help me. It begins before you ever come in this building. And then when you bow your head to the ear to the preaching of God's word and you hear the words and you say, God, I want to apply my heart to that. Now I get to come, and then I got to go out. That may, I don't know which of that is the hardest, by the way. Staying awake in a message? Staying engaged in a message? I'll never forget, I preached in Santa Maria, California one time, my senior year of Bible college, filling in for a preacher who lost his voice, and I walked into this community center, and there was about, I don't know, 13 Christians that were in this little group, and they wanted me to preach, and I was so excited, man, I was going to mark off a spot and preach, and I got up, gave the text. As soon as I prayed, this old fellow sat right here, and he went. So, in the spirit, no, in the flesh, I stood right in front of him and preached my lungs out, and he didn't even move. I felt like going... Craziest thing I ever saw. I don't know what part of that process the hardest is for you, but listen, you'll never have wisdom without effort. But you said just to ask, yeah. But have you read Proverbs 2 lately? Search for her as for hid treasure. That doesn't dig up by itself. You got to do it. You have to live a spirit-filled life. You're the one that's supposed to study to show thyself approved unto God. You're the one that's supposed to hide the words. I can't do that for you. You can't survive on my preaching every week. You've got to work. Letter D. You got to keep them in. Verse 17, bow down thine heart, hear the words of the wise, apply thine heart unto my knowledge. Look at verse 18, for it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. Can you underline that in your Bible? You got to keep them in. Too many Christians think that once they have heard the preaching of the Bible, truth, it's in there. That's like lick and stick. We're good. No, 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 friend, that's not how it works. You got to keep them there. You got to manage them. You got to steward them. The word is guard. Keeping what God has spoken to you about your life requires perhaps the most effort of all. Proverbs 4 and verse 13, take fast hold of instruction, let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Let me ask you a question. Do you hold on to the Word of God like it's your life? You guys heard the story last year, those two 14-year-old boys on the coast of Florida took off in their boat. How many heard the story? They were lost at sea, never found them, never found them. Just this week, they released footage of a guy who was in his plane who spotted them and spotted one of the boys on top of the boat clinging for his life. Made three trips around. It was very apparent. He was trying to get his attention. And the pilot, who was, I would be horrified if that was me, lost sight of the boat, reported it. By the time they got out there, they never found it. Both of them perished. They pulled their boat out of the ocean just this last week next to Bermuda. All beat up. He was clinging to the boat as long as he could. Is that the way you hold on to God's word? Because that's what it means. It means to hold on to it. For she is thy life. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them, keep them, keep them in the midst of thine heart. Hey, listen, it requires effort. Secondly, I want you to see the resounding effects. What happens when you make the effort to hear what God has to say about your life? What happens when you hear what God has to say about your life and then you make an effort to line up with the Word of God and you make the effort of protecting those truths from being forgotten or lost? I don't want to lose the seal. I don't want to lose the Word of God. I want to hold on to it because it's my life. What's the effect? Well, first of all, a gratifying heart. A gratifying heart. The Bible says, notice in verse 18, for it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. The word pleasant is gratifying or fully satisfied. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 5 real quick. Hurry now. Bible sword time. Here we go. Ecclesiastes 5. I got to put this ship down in 10 minutes. This is one of the effects. A gratifying heart. Ecclesiastes 5:18. Now we're just talking about effort and the satisfaction of the effort. Behold that which, Ecclesiastes 5:18, behold that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and enjoy the good of his labor, that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life which God giveth him, for it is his portion. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth hath given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God. Excuse me, if God would allow me to be gratified or satisfied from a hard days of work in the physical sense, how much more gratifying? How much more, the Bible word, pleasant would it be for me to labor in the Word of God? How much more gratifying would it be for me to dig out something that immediately God says, yes, yes, you found it. Stay right there. Don't go any farther. Apply thine heart. Get down on your face. Keep them there. Listen to me all day long. I've got you where I want you. And you just say, yes, Lord, yes. How much more satisfied would you be in all of your life if that's what you did every day? Gratifying heart. When a Christian makes a spiritual effort to hear carefully what the Lord is saying and then makes the effort to humbly submit to Him, there is greater satisfaction than physical labor. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 17. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, speaking of wisdom, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. Excuse me? It's exactly what God promises. A gratifying heart. Secondly, pleasant words. Boy, I could use this one. The Bible says in verse 18, for it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within her. They shall withal, now this is wisdom, they shall withal be fitted in thy lips. Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words are as honeycombs, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Another effect is the words of wisdom. Watch, according to the Bible, begin to fit in my life. And when they fit in my heart, they'll come out of my face. We always talk about, you know, square peg, square hole. Very, very rudimentary skills when we're little. We put it before our babies and we're like, we think it's the greatest thing. We watch this kid take a circle and put it in the circle and take a triangle and we go, man, that kid's smart. How he probably did that faster than any other kid we know. He knew what a square was, honey. You text your husband, call him in the middle of a meeting. Guess what? He knows what a square is. Honey, I'm in like with it. And he got the triangle this time. Isn't that great, honey? What you doing? We think it's a huge thing, but watch, the Bible talks about that. It shall be fitted in thy mouth. Watch this. The word fitted means established. Established. Reminds me of verse Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Colossians 4:6, let your speech we always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer every man. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Pleasant words come out of a heart that's kept. Let me give you number three. What's another effect? Greater faith. It's right here in the text. I love it when God outlines the message for me. Verse 19, that thy trust may be in the Lord. Can we say that out loud together? Just 19, just A, okay? Ready? Begin. That thy trust may, let's say it again. That thy trust, now let's say it like we need it for something in our life. I don't know what you need to trust God for tonight, but I want you to say it, understanding that faith doesn't happen by itself. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, help me, by the... So let's try it again. Verse 19, ready? That thy trust... Is that where your trust is tonight? Because watch this. If you're not in the Word of God, it won't be. Amen. If you're not doing the effort, you will not have a strong faith. Amen. It will not happen. You struggle with mountains, it's because you don't even have the faith of a mustard seed. Because Jesus said, if you did, you'd say to that mountain, be thou removed, and it would be gone. Greater faith. Letter D. What's another resounding effect after we make the required effort? Right answers. Letter D. Verse 20, have not I written to thee excellent things and counsels and knowledge, comma, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth? Watch, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. You know what he's preparing his king for? 1,001 questions every day. If you have kids, you should be quoting that verse. Why is this? Why is that? Why that? Why does that like that? Where do babies come from? Let's go talk to your mother. All kind of questions we're not prepared for. God says, oh, yeah, that's what keeps people from telling other people about Jesus. Pastor, I can't ever talk to anybody because they may ask me something I don't know. Well, it's right there. Well, what if they ask me, look, if you want right answers to know how to ask of those that send to thee, just take the best word that you know. It's mine. God's got it all prepared. All you've got to do is make the effort. The required effort brings resounding effects. Let me sew this up. Number three, let's talk about the responsible equation. I'm always looking for a reason to put in the message two things, food or math. Equation, by definition, is process of equating or a complex of variable factors. Now, look, I enjoy math. I enjoy working toward a solution, but I never like to show my work. How many are with me? My teacher forever. I want you to show your work, Miss McPherson, forever. She humbled me. She's about that tall. She had the old 70s dirty blonde hair and flip out here, and she had glasses. I literally think that she probably just refilled the prescription from about 1972. Hideous glasses. And she thought she was the funniest person on the planet. The only person that ever laughed at her jokes was Mrs. McPherson. And she was quirky, and I didn't get her. And you know what? She taught me a ton. She did. She would say always, "You need to show your work." And I would always go, oh. And she'd always say, "Kyle, do you not like showing your work?" And I would be like, "Not really. I really don't." The reason teachers wanted me to show my work is so that they can make sure, listen carefully, that the process was right. And if I didn't have the right answer, they could see where in the process I went wrong. I didn't like to show it, but it was going to show me where in that process I took a wrong turn. I should have remembered that when you have two negatives, it makes a positive. I should have remembered the order of things. I should have remembered first, outside, inside, last. I should have remembered this theorem. They wanted to see the process so that they could see where I went wrong. From an early age, we people go wrong in the process of life because we leave out the most important factor of life, God and His Word. We make assumptions and we formulate theories about everything under the sun before we are even adults. And then when we become adults, we just can't wait to see how things turn out, and our assumptions are all wrong, and then we start to live life and we're just making it up as we go. I don't know how many times I had math teachers say to me, "Where'd you come up with that answer?" And I would say, "I have no idea." Yeah. It's kind of like our lives. Something goes wrong, we look back and we go, "How'd that happen?" God says, "Come here. I want to show you the process. Here's the process. Bow down thine ear. Hear the words of the wise. Apply thine heart unto my knowledge, and it's a pleasant thing if you would just have kept them within thee, they'd have been in your lips. Thy trust may be in the Lord. I have made known to thee this day, even to thee, have not I written to thee excellent things and counsels and knowledge? God hath given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness." But somewhere along the line, they're not excellent anymore. Let me give you two things and we're done. The primary variable in your life is God's Word. The primary variable in your life is God's Word. Tonight before you go to bed, read Psalm 119 verses 1 through 16. Do you adjust the Bible to match theories? Or do you adjust theories to match the Bible? Remember, men do not reject the Bible because it contradicts them, because it contradicts itself, but because it contradicts them. Primary variable in your life is the Word of God. What are you doing with it? Secondly, the secondary variable is your heart. The ear will not serve without the heart, Matthew Henry said. I love that. How in the world am I going to bow down my ear if I don't even have a heart for it? Humility begins in the heart. Hebrews 2:1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Did you hear that? Give the more earnest heed. Earnest heed. Earnestly heeding the Word of God. Watch this very carefully, class. If I am not earnestly following Christ, if I am not earnestly following and obeying the things that I have heard because I have bowed down my ears to hear, then they are going to slip away. If I'm not practicing the Word of God, how in the world am I expected to remember it? If I'm not giving the more earnest heed, they're going to slip away. It's a desirable thing to know not only the words of truth, but the certainty of them, that our faith may be intelligent and rational and may grow up to full assurance. I love what he says. That thy trust may be in the Lord. I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. Have not I written to thee excellent things and counselings and counsels and knowledge that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth? How certain are you of the Bible? These things come from the Bible. They're not trivial things. They're not for amusements. They're not for diversion. They're not jocular proverbs. They're not just to be thrown around hastily or to be repeated in sport or in order to pass away time. That's not what they are. They're excellent things. They're meant for my life. And if I would just bow my head and get my heart right, if I would apply them to my heart and make the effort, I'd have the results that God wants in my life. How about you? They're excellent things. They concern the glory of God, the holiness and the happiness of your soul, the welfare of mankind in your home and all communities. Fit for kings, I suppose, to speak. There are things that concern, according to the Bible, counsels and knowledge. That is wise counsel and wise counsels relating to the most important concerns. Now watch this and I'm done. What is your most important concern tonight? God knows it. And He wants to help you with it. But you got to make the effort. Heavenly Father, I pray that You'd help us to learn that the Christian life is a life of effort, but the work is worth it. Wisdom is worth the work. We don't get it just by asking for it. That's just part of it, God. The asking comes when we decide, I want to listen. And God, what I need today comes from You and You alone. I come just as I am without one plea, without Thy blood was shed for me. And that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come. And Lord, when we come like that, humbly, seeking Your face through the Word of God, and we're asking You to teach us from the Word of God, that we would be inclined to obey the Word of God and show us, Lord, where our unwise ways are, You'll show us. The Bible promises, God, that we'll find You when we seek You early. Help us to seek. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I wonder tonight if God's spoken to your heart.